Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
We're cultural observers.
And of curious minds.
Get ready for sisterly banter while we chat about fixations, learnings, and personal growth.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hey, what's up, sisters? It's Mads.
Oh, changing it up. Hey, guys, it's Scout, and we are the sisters behind OK Sis Podcast.
Sisters IRL, if you hadn't caught on yet.
Yeah, we had a little photo shoot yesterday for the podcast. Very cute pictures coming soon. And our photographer said, so how did you meet? And I said, well, we're sisters. But the real way we met was my mother came to me and said, there's something in my stomach. And I said, oh, fuck. And then Maddie was born.
As a three-year-old, you said, oh, fuck.
Yeah. I mean, our parents were cussing left and right. I knew the word shit before I knew the word gratitude, if we're being honest.
Oy vey. Oh, my gosh. Yes. We had a photo shoot. I have so much more respect for models.
Maddie literally said, don't wake me up this morning. Modeling is so hard. I have to sleep forever. I said, Maddie, we literally had a 45-minute photo shoot.
I was wiped out. We're going to get into the topic of this episode, but... talk about having to tap into your self-love when you are modeling. It is a very humbling experience. You have to like really be feeling yourself. You have to own your looks. You have to be looking sexy. You have to be, you know, feeling yourself. And I think that takes a lot of mental strength.
No, it totally does. You definitely have to show up with a certain confidence when someone takes your photo. And also, you know, I think we're so used to taking photos on our iPhone where we can look immediately and take as many as we want. But when you
have to trust that this photographer knows your angles.
Also, not only that, you have to trust that you don't need to be that fucking picky, like that you look good. And even though you think you look whatever sort of way, when other people see it, they see
they're not going to nitpick it. Yeah. As you would, because you're usually so much harder on yourself.
You know, I wonder, I always think about this because in today's age, we're obviously used to taking hundreds and hundreds of photos of ourselves constantly, that we are so aware of the makeup of our bodies and our faces. What was it like growing up when there was no phone that you couldn't take a million pictures of? You probably thought you looked good all the time.
Well, there were mirrors still.
No, but you know, photographs can really get you at a good angle or a bad angle.
Oh, I know. You know what is the worst angle is when you're at a restaurant and you're like in a booth like setting, let's say, and then the photographer is taking the photo of both of the sides of the booth and you're the one at the front of the booth on either side. There is just you're done. Like, it's just, there's no going back. There's no way that you can look good from that angle. I have so many photos of me like just like it just accentuates your arms. You're like, have a double chin. It's just the worst.
Yeah. I'm just imagining your big head compared to everybody else.
Oh, and something happens where whenever I'm in a restaurant and dad wants the waiter to take a photo, I am conveniently always at the end in that one position.
Okay, so I think our entire family can totally relate to the situation that when Maddie asks if we could take a picture of her, we take a million, right? And then we show it to her. And I'm going to try to do an impression without laughing. She literally goes, oh, no. Oh, no. This is why we can't do in-person recordings, because we just end up laughing the whole time.
I know. On Zoom, you can't laugh together.
Also, I just can't feel your energy, and it's just, I just see your face, and I play with my hair constantly because I don't know what else to do on
that
Zoom.
Is so true.
So anyways, we're together. Obviously, Mads spent the weekend with me at my new house, which was amazing to host her. She had her own room.
It's so bizarre. Like, this is what adults feel like. Like, when you go to an adult's home and stay at their home. You know what I mean? Like, when I come to San Diego, I stay at dad's, and it's like, that's an adult home. And now I get to like stay at your house.
I know. It's really wild, especially because this year I have felt that I've completely stepped into the adulthood of my life. I think that even, you know, I turned 29, and I think there's a big difference that happens between like the ages of 26 to 29, where you actually become an adult. But it took me, I became an adult, but then it took my mind some time to catch up with that reality and actually come to terms and really feel that identity that I am no longer a kid. There's no part of me that's a kid anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild. I'm kind of tiptoeing my way into the adulthood, but I still very much feel like my mindset is still in the I'm a child. You know? Like, I do big girl things, but then I'm just like, I'm a crazy kid.
Yeah, no, I've exited that. Oh. I'm like on my own in the world, floating with my husband, and it's a good time. I actually really like it. I was afraid of this stage, but it's a good time.
I know. You texted me being like, are you watching the debate? And I said, yeah. And you were like, Trump isn't interrupting. I was like, yeah, because they mute the mics. And you were like, what? And I said, what do you know? What do you know? And then you said that you don't know anything and that you live in a world with just Lola and Luna.
Yeah, I don't like outside energy penetrating my aura, and I don't like things that don't serve me. I don't need them in my life.
So, okay.
I don't need to know that they muted the mics because, I mean, it's a very smart move on their behalf.
It's a tremendous move.
It's just like, do you need that?
Yeah, you don't need that extra information. You can find it out as you go on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We're trying to limit the amount of like excess information. Let's just like get what we really need, the priority straight.
I'm cutting the fat out. Yeah. You know, it's too much.
Trimming the fat.
There's too much in your brain.
So much.
It's enough.
My brain does not be quiet.
Oh, my team always says that I forget things because I literally pick and choose and select what stays
in
there.
Selective memory.
Yeah, what stays in there and what doesn't. Because if everything stayed in there, it would be a chaotic bouncy house.
So, that's where I'm at. Chaotic bouncy house.
You know, actually this week, so I've been really good at calming my mind and feeling really centered and grounded and in my feminine, etc. And then last week, I don't know what it was, but I couldn't settle my thoughts. I was meditating constantly. The thoughts wouldn't stop. I felt really chaotic and frenzy. I was in a frenzy all the time. And I don't know why. I mean, maybe it has something to do with my cycle, or I'm not sure, but I just felt as if it's so interesting how you can go from one week of being so grounded and purposeful and intentional and calm and grateful and all of the things to being completely out of whack the next day.
I feel that that's like a day-to-day basis for me, or actually hour by hour. I can't get to a place where it's just the norm. Like, it's my I wake up and I'm like, what kind of day is it going to be? And a lot of it is out of my control, I feel like.
Well, if we're being honest and we're venturing into this topic, you get very triggered very easily. So yeah, every little thing like gets you off your balance so easily.
And to the abyss, like it can't go back.
And it's to a point where like, I'm just like, I have to say to myself, okay, Maddie's upset about that one thing and she'll get over it eventually, but I have to continue on in my land because... And I don't think you know this, but you have an inability when something gets thrown at you to like bounce it back off you. You go crazy.
And that's the worst quality about me.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I mean, I'm bringing this to your attention because maybe you can work on it.
I am hyper aware of this flaw of mine. And the funny thing is that I always thought I was like resilient and was able to recover quickly from setbacks. It's one of the strength that I say in my job interviews, but I guess I'm lying. I don't know. I agree with you though, is that I'm really, really sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I just want everything to be in order, in balance. And then if something triggers me to become off balance, it is really hard for me to just shake it off and be like, okay, let's actually just move on to the next thing. I dwell on it.
But you're using all of that energy towards something that's so... It's little things that aren't important. It's not the big things that completely tip you off. It's just little things that can be totally just let the fuck go. Like, why would you ruin an hour of your life over that? You know? It's so... When you think about it, it's so pointless.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to get into the topic that we're discussing of self-love, but it's about acceptance, you know? Mm-hmm. I struggle really... really deeply with accepting myself wholeheartedly and holistically. I accept the good parts about myself, and I'm really great at gratitude, and I'm really great at, you know, identifying those things. But the flaws and the struggles, it's like I can't really accept them. I know that they're there, and it's like something that needs to always be worked on, but I can't accept them.
Yeah, it's interesting because when people ask me what my flaws and strengths are, I don't really see them as a spectrum of, for example, my flaws live on this side and my strengths live on this side as complete polar opposites on like
I
couldn't even tell you what my strengths and flaws are because I just believe they're it's all jumbled. Yeah.
That actually is probably a more peaceful way to live because you're not labeling things as positive or negative with the connotations. It's like, oh, what comes up and that's that and that and let's move on. Whereas with me, I'm like, oh, yay, like my positive traits really shone today. So therefore, this was a good day.
So they talk about integrating your shadow. So it sounds like you can really identify your shadow, which is really great. I have a harder time identifying my shadow as putting a label on it necessarily so that I can feel it, tangibly see it, you know, and play with it. But what I'm really good at is integrating my shadow and my light. So
oh, yeah, no, they're completely separate from me. They don't like to touch each other, and I don't let them touch each other, which is not
That's why healthy. You go rare sometimes.
I go rare.
You, like, just jump out. Okay, before we get too philosophical, deep, intuitive, lovingly, and all the good things, let's hop into some current fixations.
Let's do it. Should I go first?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, go.
We're just like throwing everything off balance.
We really are. We really are.
I have a very unconventional current fixation and I'm really excited.
I'm nervous as always.
So I was thinking, you know, we have to come up with current fixations all the fucking time because this is our show and we're currently fixated on plenty of things. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, so like what now? Like I have no TV show. I'm not really reading a book right now that I love. Like what am I supposed to say? And what am I, what's consuming all my thoughts these days? And you know what it is? Okay, sis. Is my current fixation. I think we're in this like dwelling or what's the incubation. Like we're like a little we're like a little cocoon and it's like we're in this place where we are really focusing on okay.
I just gave her a look.
This is why we filmed this today. Should we put this up on YouTube?
Oh, God. Give me a fucking another fucking platform to deal with.
Okay, too many. No, but we're in this place. We're watering it. We're nourishing it. We're letting it expand. We're in this, like, comeuppance of it. And I feel like a lot of intention and organization has been placed around OKSYS lately, and we've been putting a lot more serious effort and thought into it. And
especially our long-term goals and projects. Yeah. Lots of fun projects that we're thinking of.
Yeah,
and
so
stuff
I think
that
has been my current fixation because it feels like it's a project that we have been taking a lot more seriously and it's been on the forefront of my mind these days.
It truly has because you text me constantly about it this week.
And I always, I've noticed about myself? I'm an ideas person. I have a lot of motherfucking ideas.
Yeah.
And I do execute on a lot of them, but I have a lot of ideas. And I just kind of throw them and
at me.
Yes. And most people are like, let's prioritize. I'm like, I don't want to prioritize because I want to do it all. But then that just
I've told you
the recipe for disaster.
If you had an unlimited budget for OKSYS, the amount of things that would be happening would be out of control.
Oh, my God. We'd have.
I have to tell you to calm down. I'm like, who the fuck is paying for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had copious amounts of money, I would just like hire.
You'd be a danger.
If I had copious amounts of money, I think I would contribute creatively to the world and there would be a net positive.
Would you treat your sister to an all-inclusive vacation?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
We would go to the Ojai Valley Inn and Spa where it all began.
I was thinking more of the Bahamas.
Okay, well, I don't want to go there.
You don't want to go in one of those bungalows that are on the water?
No, that's Bora Bora.
Oh, we're going to go to Bora Bora.
And go where Kim Kardashian lost her earring?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, so my current fixation is actually I've been doing this for a really long time and I've been wanting to talk about it on the podcast, but I've been using a tongue scraper every morning and every night. And so what's so amazing about it is there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of actual natural homeopathic remedies that where you look at your tongue and you can tell sort of the status of your body. My energy healer says that I harbor a lot of heat within me. You probably do too. That's why we're always overheating and sweating. Like, do you do spicy food?
Yeah, I like spicy food.
Oh, okay. So like spicy food's bad for someone like me because I harbor so much heat and intensity in my body.
Oh, I don't know if it's like good or bad for me, but I like it.
Yeah. So the tongue scraper, I do it specifically, like I do it at night, which is great, whatever, like get the bacteria off from the day. But where I think it's super important is in the morning. So when you sleep, all the bacteria comes onto your tongue and sits in your tongue. So when you take a sip of water in the morning, all that bacteria that was exiting your body to be omitted is going back into your body when you drink water. So the first thing I do in the morning after I go to the bathroom is I scrape my tongue 3 to 4 times, and you see the white bacteria coming off of your tongue. Have you ever taken a sip of water and you see like the little white stuff on the top?
Ew.
Yeah. That's what you can get away with a tongue scraper. So I almost have to do it every morning now. Like if Adam brings me my coffee in bed, sometimes I'll drink it without scraping my tongue, but I just think about all the bacteria sitting on my tongue that's about to be re-ingested into my body.
Okay, science.
Thanks.
Look how like scientific you are.
I know.
Wow.
You know, Adam didn't even teach me this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know who you sound like?
Adam.
Your husband.
Oh, he didn't teach me this. I found this on my own.
Wow.
Actually, I found it from Sahara Rose, who was my current fixation last week, maybe. I don't remember. But she talked about it on the Skinny Confidential, and then I bought my tongue scraper from ShopGood, and I have been hooked ever since.
Wow. Another device.
I mean, it's like it's $10. It lasts you forever. Yeah. It's cheap. It's basically free.
Are you washing that thing?
Oh yeah, you gotta wash it because the residue can build up. It's not cute.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yummy.
So, anyways, before we get into the solo episode, if you are liking what we're putting down, we would really appreciate it, sisters, if you would text this episode to a friend who might be in need of some self-love, because that's what we're about to talk about.
Let's do it.
Okay, so before we have some tips on how we practice self-love, how we learn to love ourselves. But before we do that, I wanted to get into a little bit about our relationship personally with self-love and where we're at with loving ourselves, because I believe it is a continuous practice. It is also something that is it's a high buzzword. It's self-love, self-love, self-love. But what does it actually mean? And then once you get there, how do you actually express it? So what got me really interested in self-love was that earlier this year, pre-COVID, all the good stuff, I was really thriving. I'm thriving right now, but my business was really starting to take off, and I was really at a point where I was recognizing, wow, the things that I've been wanting to do my whole life, I'm actually at the point where I'm doing them. I'm stable mentally. I'm pursuing my dreams, and I just had a really deep inner confidence, and I just loved myself. Like, I would see these other women on social media, and I realized that if given the chance to trade lives with any of them, I wouldn't. And I think that was a really, really big sentiment to say wholeheartedly. Like, you could ask me, I mean, like, unless it's Amal Clooney, no, but in all seriousness, you know, do you want to trade lives with this woman? The answer would be no, because I loved my life so much. And I remember being in a mastermind, my business mastermind that I was in last year, and our facilitator, Amy Natalie, who's my coach actually, asked us to do some journal prompts. And one of the journal prompts was, what would you share online if you weren't afraid? And the group did it over Zoom together. And I remember being in the office at the time, and my employee was downstairs, and I didn't even want to say it out loud. Like, I didn't want anyone to hear me. And so I said, hey guys, I'm going to type it in the chat in Zoom because my employee's downstairs and I'm actually afraid for her to even hear this. And I wrote, I would share that I love myself so fucking much that I don't want to be anybody else in this time. And that scared me to share that, because I believe that we are taught as a society to love ourselves. But then once we do really love ourselves, we're taught to not shine so bright and to not spread it.
It's like voyeuristic, or it's deemed as self-involved.
Yeah. So that's what I was afraid to share. And so I think that I'm really happy to have this conversation with you, because there are tangible things I've been doing. I know that you have a different relationship potentially to self-love, you know, I think, and I'm interested to hear kind of where I'm at right now is different, but where are you at right now with that?
Yeah. So I would say my relationship to self-love has historically been tumultuous, to say the least. And I think a lot of people identify with that and struggle with this concept. So I'm really glad that we're shedding light on it, and not in a superficial way. I think this is going to be more of a conversation of, like, what does self-love actually mean? Because, you know, as I reflect on it, there are a lot of things that I do love about myself. And I think most people can identify those things, and, you know, they can be kind of maybe personality traits or your favorite things, or like what you like to do. But that's not really what self-love is. It's more of what we were mentioning in the beginning of the podcast, this acceptance of all parts of yourself. I think it's so easy, of course, to love the parts that you like about yourself. I mean, I say, you know, I do a gratitude practice. Everyone knows we're gratitude whores over here at OK Sis. And I, probably the one thing I write the most is that I'm so proud of myself for working out every day and for having that motivation. So yeah, it's very easy to like things or love the parts that are good about yourself mm-hmm. and that are deemed positive. What I do struggle with more, and it's very apparent on this podcast, is I struggle with comparison, with, you know, comparing my now to other people's futures mm-hmm. and where they are and being like, okay, that distance between those two states is debilitating and not achievable. And therefore I break down and don't even progress forward. That's changed a little bit this past year, thankfully. But I think
a lot of that has to do with OK Sis.
Yes. So a lot of that has been broken down. And honestly, I'm very, very aware of it. Whereas before, I think it was subconscious. And then while I scrolled through Instagram, it wasn't like as forthright. And now it's like, oh, I'm aware when I become really jealous or I compare myself and things like that. And kind of I'm able to take myself out of it and be like, oh, no, like, we're sending that woman love. That's great. I'm on a different path and I'm not even at that stage in my life yet. So why would I ever compare it to that? Another part that I struggle with is judgment, inner judgment. I think a lot of people struggle with this, the negative self-talk and those thoughts that it's really hard for me to, like, now, again, I'm really great at recognizing them, but I don't. There is still a lot of shame, a lot of judgment that occurs around those thoughts. Like this is the thought pattern. Negative thought A enters into my head. Mm-hmm. Then I say, oh shit, I don't want to think about that. Like, let's push it out. Oh shit, Maddie, like don't label it as negative. Oh, now you're judging yourself for having this negative thought. Oh, now you're judging yourself for judging yourself and having this negative thought. And it's a spiral and it spirals well, and it's like doesn't stop. So I think a lot of people can relate to this. I've heard many people experience negative self-talk. I think it's obviously very normal and I think everyone goes through it. But what I've learned is that you need to just recognize it as unproductive. And like, for instance, there, and again, this kind of goes in waves. Like sometimes I'll have these thought spirals that just are completely debilitating. I can't even get work done. I can't even move forward in my day. And other times they come and I'm like, okay, out. And then that's a really great mentally strong day. But for instance, I was laying in bed and, you know, having those, I mean, a big part of this is like, I can't go to bed without some sort of stimulation because I can't be alone with my thoughts, which is.
You really need to detox from that habit because I think that it's not propelling you towards actually dealing with what that stillness brings about, and you're just prolonging your suffering and your healing.
Yeah, of course. And well, that's the thing. So I was in bed having one of these spirals and the thoughts are essentially like, you're not smart. Why would you fucking have a podcast and talk about things when you like aren't articulate and you're stupid? Like, these are the types of thoughts that I say to myself. And it's like, why would anyone want to care what you think? Like, what gives you, you know, what gives you the courage to do that? Whatever, all these things. And like, you're not successful, whatever. And then I was like, okay, let's just like think about these thoughts. Like, what do they serve me? Like, are they motivating so that I can be, you know, I don't know, do more in life? Or like, are they motivating me to succeed, to I don't know. Like, I was trying to find like the positive in these thoughts, or like, what is something that they are doing, serving me? And I couldn't think of one thing. I was like, they're not even motivating me to
do better
because they're so debilitating.
It's the same thing as when you get off kilter. It's just spreading energy on things that don't propel you forward or move you or push you further. My motto, I think, and I think potentially this is where one of the blessings comes from living with a mental illness, is that I've suffered enough. Like, I don't need, I've suffered enough from an outside source of a disease. The last thing I need is to be at war with myself. Like, it is just the most pointless relationship you can have. And why, and in what universe does that even make sense to sit there and attack yourself? Just whip yourself mentally over and over and over again. There's no, there's literally no purpose for it.
I know. And maybe I thought for a long time that the purpose was that it would be motivation and that it would be...
it's self-flagellation.
Yeah, it's like complete self-harm.
Yeah.
So it was really freeing in that moment, though, because I was like, okay, literally, what is this helping? Like, what is it telling me? And then I literally couldn't think of one thing. So I was like, so what the fuck am I
saying? I'll tell you what it's telling you. It's literally telling you that you don't show yourself enough love, so you need to walk down the path of showing yourself more love.
Yeah, exactly.
You immediately choose fear. You neglect the love in your life, and you just walk down this. You're self-sabotaging your life.
Exactly.
But you really want to get to the end of your life and know that it wasn't your circumstances that hit you down. It wasn't outside forces.
It was yourself.
It was yourself. That Which, is like yeah. such a shitty realization.
Yeah. No. Can't do that anymore. So. I think it was a really freeing moment because I really understood that it gives no purpose, and these types of thoughts and spirals that happen are just, and look, it's fucking hard. I still to this day I don't have a lot of mental strength to get out of them very easily. It's very difficult. And I guess what this podcast and this episode is going to be about is the tools that we have used in order to get out of those moments and really understand ourselves and express self-love and self-celebration. And it's about being really brutally honest with yourself, I think, also.
Yeah, so let's start. We each wrote things that work for us. And I also want to say that just because I said that that has no purpose doesn't mean that those thoughts don't visit me as well. It's just that they really don't take up a lot of rent in my head over time. I've been able to kind of pick and choose that those just don't work for me anymore. Yeah. So the first thing I said for someone, this is really for someone who's suffering to find anything they love about themselves, because I think that sometimes we don't easily jump to feel the things that we do love about ourselves. Like you said, it's easy to list the positives, but some people even have hard with that step. So The first step I said was to find one thing you love about yourself. And we immediately go to the physical. I think like I like my hair, or I like that I'm kinder, but it can be physical or emotional or mental. It can be anything. So even if it's, I love my fucking fingers, you know, like some people like their fingers, I don't know. It can be anything that small, but really pick one thing that you truly love, that you're not trying to love, that feels really authentic and true, and sit in that feeling and have your brain experience what it feels like to bask in loving an aspect of yourself. Because once you can go through that experience, your brain now knows, oh, that's what it feels like to love yourself. Maybe it's not your whole self, as we said, it's a finger, it's your eyebrow, it's your nose, whatever it is,
but it's like you're capable
of feeling that love towards yourself. Maybe it's the fact that you give 10% of your profits away to a company. Maybe it's the fact that you call your sister every week to check in on her. It can be whatever. It can be something so small or something big, but really have a moment to sit with yourself. Find that one thing that you can really, really feel truthfully in your heart, and give your brain an example, that as an example, as to what it feels like to actually love an aspect of yourself, because I think that's step one in then integrating it into the areas that maybe aren't so nice.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that kind of ties into one of the things that has helped me is gratitude.
Oh, that's also on my list.
Duh. I mean, like, is it the most obvious thing we could have said? But specifically, and I have mentioned this book on the pod before. It is The 5-Minute Journal by Intelligent Change. And what I like about it is, one, it's extremely accessible and digestible because it's 5 minutes a day you have to devote to yourself. And basically, you every day you write 3 things that you're grateful for, and then 3 things of what would make today great, and then 2 daily affirmations. You know, Scout, you're a big affirmation stan, I feel like, and I didn't really understand it. But I, since having this book, I've really learned more about the power of affirmations and manifestation, and kind of just like not necessarily tricking your mind into believing these things, but it's
you're rewiring
and you're kind of like this repetition of this state that you wish to be in, but you say it in the present day, and then it's really powerful, actually, because it helps you take the necessary steps to get there.
Well, it's so interesting that people don't believe in affirmations when if you say something negative, like I'm lazy, you believe that wholeheartedly, and then your entire mood, energy, being, actions relate to that affirmation. Right. Why wouldn't that same effect happen with something negative. Positive?
Right, right, exactly. So what I'm saying is like, those negative thoughts that I have, those are all affirmations.
Yeah,
that I'm
exactly.
literally like rewiring my brain to think that they are true. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't I, yeah, why wouldn't I say positive ones to rewire my brain? So, you know, the examples that I gave earlier of that, of the spiral that I go through, a big insecurity of mine is that I don't sound smart. I don't know where this comes from, but it is like a really, really deep insecurity of mine that I am not intelligent or that I don't come off as like the smartest person in the room. And like eloquent and articulate. So that's something I'm working on. But affirmations that have helped me is to say, I am sincere in my words and I see their impact. My message is so important and people want to receive it. Those are like, when I read those two affirmations, it's like speaking to my soul. That's exactly the things I struggle with. So by saying them in the present moment, I feel them to be true. And it helps to kind of lessen the blow of that insecurity that I have.
That's the exact same way I felt when I heard the affirmation. I think I made it up. I am safe in my emotions. It was mind blowing for me. It felt so good to give myself evidence that I could feel a different way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just evidence.
It's evidence.
All it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I can't really speak articulately or intellectually or intelligently on it, but
great. I love it.
I have been dabbling a little bit into neuroplasticity, which is basically
science,
which is basically this. I think it's a new way of thinking about the brain, but you know, people thought that the brain stopped forming at the age of 18 or whatever it was. But in fact, there's evidence that you can completely rewire your brain at any point in your life. Mm-hmm. So if you've been living with depression until the age of 30, you can actually give your brain evidence that it can think otherwise, and it strengthens the neurons and it moves. And then you can rewire the way your brain works, which is which is evidently seen in what I've been able to do yeah. with my mental health. I've been able to rewire the chemicals in my brain to really exhibit a different reality for myself.
It's liberating to know that you can mm-hmm. do something like that, and that's the positive. Okay, the last things about this book that I really love is at the end of the day, because usually people journal in the morning and it's kind of like a way to center yourself and ground yourself, but I really lack a night routine. So this has kind of been a nice way to bookend my day, and you write three amazing things that happened today. So again, it could be so little. Like, I can read what I wrote. It's like, I got a cold brew today. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing thing that happened.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then you say, how could I made today even better? So it's just kind of making sure you're always, you know, improving, but still reflecting on those amazing things, because amazing things happen every single day. And even if you had a shitty day, you can identify those three things.
Yeah.
And you might have forgotten them because you had a shitty day, but this like forces you to really write down and actualize those things.
Yeah, I love that. So my second one is, carve out a space for yourself every day, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, where you can connect with yourself. And so I do this constantly. I do this actually a lot lately. So I don't even look at my, I think if you're going to choose a time to carve out, number one rule is the phone has to be away. Mm-hmm. Not just next to you, like in another room, completely gone. And so I actually don't look at my phone until 8:30 or 9 every single morning. Of course, I go on it to put on my, you know, my meditation or whatever, but I don't check my notifications. So I don't click the Instagram out app. I don't click my messages, and I don't click my email. And at night, I do the same thing at around 8:30. I plug my phone in, put my alarm on, and chill for about an hour and a half to 2 hours without my phone. But that's obviously takes a really long time, I believe, to work up to something like that. But if you haven't done this, carve out a space, 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day where it's just you. It's no stimulus. It's no podcast. It's no TV show. It's nothing. I mean, unless it's a meditation app, it's nothing. You can use that time to journal. You can walk around the block, leave your phone at home, and just feel what it feels like to just be with you. I think that I am developing personally a very different relationship to my phone where I don't like it. I don't think it serves me. I don't need it in my life all the time. And I really want it out of my center. And I find that when it's gone, I'm able to listen to something within and connect deeply within. Another great way to connect with yourself is to walk outside with no shoes and to ground yourself into grass on the earth. It just kind of pulls you straight into nature. They say that gives you some magnetic, energetic frequency as well. But just the act of kind of being one with nature, taking off your shoes and having no barrier between you and the earth is a really good way to center yourself. Taking a bath, taking a long shower. There's so many ways to do this. But I think that once you start doing that, in the beginning, maybe it feels uncomfortable. But then once you push through that, and you'll end up looking forward to that time and understanding that your truth is actually in those moments where you are completely unplugged from everything, from outside energy, from outside source, and you're just here. You're just here, and you'll find that that's the best home base and anchor you can possibly have.
Yeah. I also wrote spending time with myself. A big one, as I had mentioned, is working out, exercising. Yes, I'm watching like a workout video, but I put my phone in the other room. I mean, why would you need, you know, you're not going to be on your phone mm-hmm. during that hour. And it is really, again, this cathartic experience for me. And it feels very in tune with my body, with myself. It's like literally just me and hard work. And that is something that has, I'm a huge advocate for. I know people struggle with trying to get, you know, trying to feel motivated to work out. And honestly, the only way to get to kind of like the space I'm in is you have to do it constantly. And
or actually something that's been working for me, because you know that I'm not a big worker outer, but something that has gotten me to do my Melissa Wood Health mm-hmm. is thinking, oh, I get 20-30 minutes alone.
Yeah,
that's that idea. So it's not even, oh, I have to work out. It's like, oh, I get uninterrupted time to just focus on this.
It's so true, because now that I think about it, when I go to work out, I'm like so excited to work out because I'm not distracted or have all these like triggers around mm-hmm. me. Where it's weird because when I go to shower or when I brush my teeth or wash my face, like I cannot be alone with my thoughts because the thoughts come. So it's interesting. Like you're still not really like when you work out, you're still thinking about something and focusing on something, whereas you're still not completely free.
Well, you're connecting more to your body than your mind.
Yeah. And so and that's something I struggle with is like,
which is important.
Yeah. When I go to shower or do like just tasks around the house, I need to be listening to a podcast. It's just like a constant, okay. It's a constant stream of content.
We're doing a challenge for you.
I know.
One day, just one day or half a day. Let's start with half a day. Don't put on a piece of content until noon. Just don't do it. You will find once you get through it, there are weeks where I'm like, I don't even want anyone in my ear. Like, yeah. I just want to be with myself.
Oh, wow. That's a self-love. You know you've conquered self-love when you can go shower without a podcast.
Oh, my God. We need steps for you, dude.
We need a lower bar.
I go, like, days without content.
Oh no.
Okay. My next one is, don't compare yourself on social media. And so the best way to do this, which we've talked about on the podcast before, is if you're scrolling and you see a girl or a boy or a company, whatever it is, and you feel a ping of jealousy and you get into that cycle of why don't I have that, which is supernatural. It can happen to any of us. A lot of the times for me, sometimes it'll happen with Sivan Ayla, actually. I'll look at her and say, well, she's really, you know, about my age, and she has her second child on the way, and she's bought in two houses and all of these things. And so instead, when I feel that ping coming up, I take a moment and I either say a prayer. I say, please God bless her with even more abundance, health, prosperity, and happiness. And please protect her and all these things. Or I just send love. I'm saying, wow, you're doing so amazing. And I become her biggest cheerleader. And then I say, what aspects of her life can I strive for? Can I make an inspirational goal? So it's just reframing, you know, the relationship you have to that image. And if something is so triggering, like for some reason, there was this girl, I forget what her name is. Like I have okay body acceptance, which I've actually never talked about on the podcast. I actually do struggle a lot with my physical body. Like a lot
that's
of
surprising. I feel like you come off as very loving towards your body.
Yeah, I love my body deeply, and then but there are intense moments where I have a lot of body dysmorphia, and my friend could tell you this because for some reason it always she looks at me and she's like, I we're looking at two different photos. Like
that's
we just
how, that's
are.
How I am with Ben. I literally look in the mirror. I'm like, I think I'm the fattest person in the world. He's like, I don't like, what are you looking at? Yeah. Like it's dysmorphia. Most women.
Yeah. Mine's mild. It's nothing to be whatever about, but there was this one girl. I can usually follow girls who post bikini photos of their bodies and whatever and celebrate them. But there was just this one girl who every time I looked at her body, I just hated mine. And so I unfollowed. Like it just, you know, sometimes we can't send love, sometimes it's too triggering and so you have to unfollow, but I would challenge you to start praying for somebody else or sending love and then reframing it as how can I use this to inspire my life.
I think I was just gonna say that the aspirational aspect, I mean with Sivan, I also I'm obsessed with her life and her lifestyle, that's why we all follow her, but something that I've, and I don't really compare myself to her because I don't think I'm in like the same phase of my life than her, but when I moved into my new apartment, her house was my like mood board and inspo board, and literally my friend came in, she's like, this is Sivan's house. I'm like, what? Like I was like, wait, what?
That was totally accidental.
And that's the thing, it's like you can be inspired and then one day get to a point where you have an opportunity to like plug in those little inspirations. And like I mean this is kind of a superficial example, but for our photo shoot yesterday, like I put together a mood board of all JC Marie because it's JC Marie. She's super cute. And we like wanna look cute like her. And so the mood board was that. I mean, we haven't seen the photos, so we don't know if we pulled it off. But you know, when those moments appear and I'm like, oh, because like I'm not really like an influencer or content creator, but when we have a photo shoot, I'm like, okay, great. This is the opportunity for me to tap into that inspiration that she gives me.
LOL, says the girl who has a podcast. I'm not a content creator.
No, I said influencer.
You said influencer or a content creator.
No, I said it. Oh.
You said we are content creators.
We're content creators, guys. I'm big on TikTok, you know?
We're having trouble realizing that's our role in life.
I know. Wait, but I was going to say one other thing. I think something, so the comparison thing, really, really hard. The big one for me has been, I more so compare myself to female entrepreneurs. I think that is a huge one. I think in my early 20s, I probably delayed a lot of my dreams and a lot of my accomplishments because I was so debilitated by comparing myself to women, young female entrepreneurs.
And you know that's the exact opposite effect they want to have on you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. These women are...
If they knew that, they'd be so
devastated. They'd be so sad. Yeah. I know. And it's very interesting. I mean, and I also... It was kind of this similar thing where... I used to read a lot of business books and self-help books in my early 20s and listen to tons of podcasts with female entrepreneurs and like how to achieve your dreams and all these inspiring messages, and it did the opposite effect on me. Mm-hmm. I felt so far away from getting those that it actually halted me from starting anything.
See, that's why different content affects people differently.
100%. Yeah, like Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg. Love you, Sheryl, but I cried for months after reading that book. I was like, what? I'm not anywhere where this is. Like, what?
Yeah.
It felt very unrelatable. And so it's, you know, it's tricky.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it my turn?
Yeah. Let's do one more.
Okay. This one is one I'm really good at.
Look at you celebrating yourself. Oh, are you being sarcastic?
I'm trying to like get on the video, a little zoom in on my face.
Oh, okay. So this is really translating well. To the podcast.
Okay, this one I am a huge proponent of. I think everyone should do this. This is, I've always said this, that this is the ultimate form of self-love and expression: taking selfies. I think taking selfies, and I know this sounds weird, but, and I've never said it because I thought something was wrong with me, but like,
God, I love taking selfies.
It is when you like, either get dressed up for a night or like you're just feeling yourself and you take a selfie. You're not posting anywhere. It doesn't matter where it goes, but you post, you take a selfie. You're like, fuck, I look so good. That is self-love. I'm sorry. Like, that is the most tangible way that I experience self-love.
Then keep going.
I know. It's, you don't want to see the camera roll. There's a lot. Yeah. My there is a lot.
Okay, can I end on one?
Oh, sure.
Because this one's really good. I think that also when you're trying to practice self-love or loving yourself, there also comes to a point where you have to connect with yourself and figure out who the fuck you are. Mm-hmm. So I think a really great way to do that by omitting outside noises, influences, whether it's from your parents, your friends, society, social media, is to hone in on a decision that you want to make just because you want to and it feels good in your intuition and your gut, regardless of the fact that, you know, maybe your parents might not like it or your friends might not like it, etc. It could be something so small, like moving into an apartment's kind of big, but you know, it could be anything. It doesn't have to be life-changing or life-altering. It could be to post a video on Instagram that people might think is weird, you know, whatever it might be, because it feels really, really good to you. Do that, make that decision to do it, and feel what it feels like to act solely based on your gut intuition and not based on what anyone else thinks. Don't ask someone for their opinion. Don't ask someone for their approval. Just go forth and act as an individual, just you, and feel how that really feels inside, because I think that once you do feel that, you'll be addicted to feeling that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Intuitive action, and really, it's kind of the part of Untamed where Glennon Doyle says she just like, what does she call it? Like the deepening, or when she goes inside herself and like the, when she can she'd be like, just feel the gut and no external stimulus. Like, what is my gut telling me in this moment? I'm going into that dark, someone kind of the dark place. What does she call it?
I don't remember.
Whatever. But that's exactly what it is, where it's just like, if you can't get to a decision, you retreat inside yourself, feel exactly what it feels like that your gut is telling you, and then act
also
it accordingly.
A really great way, because some people might listen to that and say, well, how do I know what my gut is telling me? Shaman Durek has a way to do that. Go into your body, and if you're deciding between two things, let's get really basic, right? Should I move into apartment A or apartment B? You close your eyes and you feel, or should I move into apartment A? Let's just say that. You go into your body and say, what does it feel like to say yes to that? What does it feel like to say no to that? And then you can feel the difference and know which choice you have to make.
And which one is right.
Yeah, that's a really good way. Wow.
Wow. Are we closer to self-love?
I think that we're closer to our highest selves. I think we're closer to our intuition. I think we are closer to each other as sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You love me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cute.
It's not self-love. It's sister love.
It's sister love. Anyways, sisters, thank you for listening. We heard you that you wanted more solo episodes, so we are delivering. We are going to be doing every other week solo episodes, which we're really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned for that, and catch us on Instagram at OKSIS Podcast.
Catch us on Instagram.
Oh, boy.
On the gram.
Okay, see you on the flip side. Bye.